You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles,
Series 5, Episode 5.
Thanks for listening back to the Geekly Chronicles.
This show was recorded on the 25th of November, 2016.
This version of the show isn't quite the same as the one that went out live, as we've had to edit out all of the songs.
It's nothing personal. We're just big fans of making sure artists get paid for the great things they create.
If you want to listen back to the show in its full musical glory, wow, head over to our Mixcloud channel, where you'll find every episode of the Geekly Chronicles as it was meant to be heard.
Ooh.
That's mixcloud.com/GKLYCO.
Thanks again for listening.
Hello.
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 Hi.
Hiya.
Hello.
Hello.
Lower.
All right. And welcome to episode 5.
What the what?
I know.
I just feel a little.
Right then.
Yeah, and what a week it's been. In the week that John Quaintance, executive producer of Comedy Central's Workaholics, shared a list of tired old comedy phrases that should be retired. And it's, wait for it, redonkulous. Yes.
In that week, scientists have found that the mummified Nile crocodile in the National Museum of Antiquities in Leiden, in the Netherlands, had 47 baby crocodiles stuffed inside it.
That's not quite a turducken, is it?
Not quite.
And in the week that the case of the 1919 Great Molasses Flood in Boston, yes, that was an actual flood of molasses.
Oh, yeah.
That's Boston, Massachusetts, is being reopened for investigation almost 100 years later because modern physics might hold the answers.
Indeed. Modern physics, private investigator.
In all those weeks, we bring you the Geekly Chronicles.
Yes, we do. We have all of the usual features, including the Tumble Fumble, Winning Word, and Game of Geeks.
Not to mention, later in the show, we'll be speaking to Paralympic gold medalist and swimmer. Well, not and swimmer. I mean, she swims. Yeah, she swam in the Paralympics and won gold medals for it. Ah!
Yes.
Ellie Robinson.
Go sports.
Oh.
We will also be playing your requests. Get them in via our chat room. You can find it on the Geekly website at gkly.co or tweet them to us at gkly.co. Yeah.
It's the Geekly Chronicles.
Sorry. I interrupted you. You carry on.
No, I was just going to say it must be time to introduce our winning word.
Oh, yes. This competition's new for Series 5. We've given away lots of Geekly merchandise so far, like mugs and T-shirts, but also some Tetris magnets, a tea strainer, and a hair clip.
Indeed. And not forgetting, of course, the Muppets Take Manhattan on Blu-ray.
Oh, I'm still jealous about that.
Oh, yeah. Those prizes, as regular listeners will be aware, are very random on purpose, because the winner of the Winning Word competition gets a Geekly swag bundle as well as a random gift from Terence Eden's Fiverr Fun Blog.
So how do our listeners go about winning?
Well, every show we come up with a new winning word, and when you hear the word, just call into the show. You'll find all the numbers on the website at gkly.co/win.
We will then ask you when you heard the word, just to make sure that you're actually listening. And that's all you have to do.
Yeah. Pretty straightforward, really. We'll add another mystery item to the prize bundle later in the show. I have the package right here. It's kind of a big deal.
But it's a mystery, so how do you know it's a big deal?
Well, it's quite large.
Oh!
It's a large deal.
What sort of size are we talking here? Hold it up. I know this is entirely invalid for radio, but big it didn't even fit in the drawer.
Yeah.
We have a large package.
Yes, it's much bigger than our previous prize packages. Wow. So really money would you be... Yahoo! So you really want to be... I can't talk this evening, obviously. You really want to be listening out for our winning words. So we had better announce what it is.
This week's winning word is hippogriff.
And as soon as you hear that word, be the first to give us a call and win stuff.
And here is how you do it.
If you hear the winning word, give us a call in the UK on 020-3389-6245 or in the US on 415-287-9705. You might just win something. Calls cost the standard geographic rate from mobiles and BT landlines. Other networks may vary, and international calls will cost significantly more. Lines close at the end of the show. Please do not try to enter if you are listening back to the podcast, as the competition has closed, but you may still be charged. For full terms or to find another regional number, visit gkly.co/win.
And lines open now.
Ooh, so listen out for that word.
Yes.
I'm sure. We've got plenty to talk about during the show, including a film that has come out recently. Mm. So we'll be talking about that, and you know, might just hear the word at that point in time.
Yeah, give that away.
Yes.
No, not to spoil it for you.
I wasn't spoiling it. It was a clue. It was a helpful kind of, hey, listen out for that winning word.
Most helpful.
Nudge in the right direction. I'm on the side of the listeners here. Yeah, I'm all about the listeners.
Uh-huh.
It's the Geekly Chronicles.
I was kind of hoping there'd be a jingle at this point.
Oh, well, if you really, really want one.
It's like crowdfunding without the funding or the crowd.
There we go. Now, on our last show, Catherine invented a new kind of navigation aid.
Yeah, although I think aid might be a bit of an exaggeration.
Yeah, fair enough.
I suggested the ShatNav to guide you on your next journey to the Klingon homeworld.
And it got funded. I mean, 78% of you, apparently, last time voted in favour of the William Shatner SatNav in our Would You Fund It?
Bit of a drop from your 100% in week one. You know, losing your touch a bit, maybe.
Shots fired.
But it's time for a brand new pitch.
It is.
And yeah.
You weren't ready to press the button, were you?
No, not really. It's your turn, though, Chris, so...
This week, it's Chris's pitch.
We don't have to rely on the jingles. Let's just talk.
That sounds like a terrifying prospect. But...
It's your idea.
It is my idea. And, well, I thought, what with our friends in the US celebrating Thanksgiving this week... obviously, our friends in Canada celebrated it a month ago, and it's old news to them, but...
Wait, there's a Thanksgiving in Canada?
Yeah, a month before.
What are they thankful
American
for?
Thanksgiving. Not being the United States.
I suppose that makes sense.
At this point, I'd be more thankful for that than ever before.
Yeah, I think we should have our own Thanksgiving. It's like, oh, well, thanks, we're not there.
Yeah. But what with Thanksgiving... being around at the moment and, you know, us being on
being
the...
Around.
Being around.
It's
being
behind you.
Generally present at the moment. And looming...
It's behind me, isn't it?
Looming over us.
It is, yeah. It's always there when you talk about it.
Yeah. And, of course, us being on the run-up to Christmas as well. A lot of people are going to see their family and having big family dinners. And in many cases, you know, dinner table conversation... can get a bit heavy. And
well, I know that when my family awkward. All gets together, everyone's talking. Everyone has their own opinions and mm-hmm. everyone disagrees with other people's opinions and suddenly the whole thing gets... It turns into an argument, doesn't it?
And there are lots of kind of divisive issues floating around at the moment. So I thought, because of all the stuff that's gone down this year, what if there was some kind of way... of making sure that awkward, difficult, arguing dinner table conversation just went away.
So what did you come up with?
I came up with the awkward turtle.
No, awkward turtle has always been a thing, though, right? It's what you make the little sign with your hands and you say awkward turtle when something's awkward. So what's different about yours?
Well, this one's an actual robot turtle, Kez.
Awesome. So what, it would like sit on your dinner table and what?
Well, why don't we have a listen?
This turkey is delicious, thank you.
Could you pass the potatoes, please?
You mean like you passed on voting this year?
Just pass the taters.
But seriously, why wouldn't you vote? People died for your right to vote.
I don't see what business it is of yours.
Hello. Hi, awkward turtle.
Did you see that cute puppy phone through on the internet earlier? Wasn't it adorable?
Oh, yeah, it was. Thanks for the reminder, awkward turtle.
Yeah. Oh, and did you see that one of the cat in the shoebox? Adorable.
How about that Ellie Robinson? Hands down the best Paralympian on this year's squad.
I guess she's okay. You know, for a girl. Obviously, the real athletes are the men.
Excuse me?
It's just a fact.
Different types of people have different... Hey, cutie pie. What's up with you?
Have you ever thought about how cool rainbows are?
I don't see how that...
No, seriously. Rainbows are amazing and they're here for everyone. Look at this picture I found of a rainbow.
I feel... calmer.
Yeah, it's like the world's okay. Sorry, Catherine. Do you want some more lingonberry sauce?
Oh, yes, please.
Isn't it nice that Pokemon Go is giving us extra Stardust and double XP for Thanksgiving? That's what I'm thankful for this year.
Well, Massey, my Ferguson. Speaking of games, Brexit's totally ruined my season on Football Manager.
You what?
Yeah, halfway through the game, and I can't get players from Europe anymore because of the fact they put Brexit in it.
So, you're annoyed at Brexit being in a game that simulates real life?
Yeah.
But that's what's really going to happen.
Ugh, stop being such a Ramoner.
Let's listen to some Ramones!
Ooh, yes. I love their cover of Baby I Love You.
Not a problem!
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd help.
So... I mean, first off, it sounds like the Mind Turtles from Asdorf movie, which I like. That's good. But it just interrupts you when you start talking about things that could potentially be an awkward situation.
Absolutely.
I like it.
I know. I don't see anything wrong with this idea. No one's gonna fall out over the dinner table. It's all gonna be kept nice and pleasant. It's gonna totally distract from anything tricky.
Yeah, I suppose it sounds nice, but is it just kind of the equivalent of, you know, never listening, you know, I suppose, you know, being in an echo chamber of never having to hear anyone else's opinion?
Yeah, I suppose it does kind of take the debate away from debating because you're not allowed to say anything that anyone else disagrees with.
You're only allowed to talk about rainbows and kittens
puppies
in shoeboxes.
But at the same time...
You say that like it's a problem, yeah. Honestly.
I suppose if that is all we discussed, the world might be a nicer place.
It's true. I was going to say, at the same time, it's, you know, it's still better than an awkward conversation with the family. So
now you're seeing my point.
So, how can people vote?
Well, you can head on over to gkly.co/fundit and cast your vote on whether or not the awkward turtle is something you want to see on your dinner table this holiday season. You can also head over to our Twitter account at GKLYCO, where we have tweeted a little poll you can vote in.
Vote now at gkly.co/fundit.
And we will be checking back with the results from Would You Fund It later in the show. And the secret word in the chat room asks, can I fund these accents instead?
You really want to fund our terrible
oh,
accents?
I was just saying in the chat room while it was playing, I'm alarmed just how many of my Would You Fund It characters come from Wolverhampton.
Other than Wolverhampton, how many accents can you do?
Like two, and neither of them are radio friendly.
Yeah. I'm not entirely sure my accents are great, but I can try and do them from a number of different places.
Yeah. That's what we're worried about.
I mean, the whole thing just completely sends me. I can't do it at all. My brain just would not.
You're a West Country accent. Yeah. It wasn't very good, was it?
It was awful.
Yeah.
Which
I'm
is worrying.
From the West Country.
Yeah. You're from there.
You grew up around there and you can't do the accent.
I don't know. I can say a few select phrases.
Do enlighten us.
Oh, God. Here we go.
It's washing up thick tins, why could happen, but the water went straight ruin.
What?
If anybody knows what that is.
If you know what that means, I will send you a Geekly mug.
I actually understood that.
I'm not sending you a Geekly mug.
Well, no.
You work here.
I have access to a cupboard full of them.
Yes.
But, you know, as someone else who grew up vaguely near the West Country, I like to think I could decode. Can't speak it, but, you know, I can
understand it.
It's the Geekly Chronicles.
It's been an eventful few weeks, hasn't it?
It really has.
Lots going on. Always
so,
lots of news.
Yeah.
Modern physics and molasses, then.
Yes. In the most interesting news of the week. Never mind all the B's and the T's and the other political things going on in the world.
Yeah. 100 years ago, there was a flood of molasses. I mean,
not just a flood, like an explosion.
So a storage tank in a molasses factory exploded. Oh, it was on the outside of the molasses factory. And a 7-meter-high wave of molasses, essentially thick treacle, ran through the city. It's...
Wow.
Yeah, it's 1.5 times as dense and 7 times the viscosity of water.
I mean, this has happened in my imagination several times.
But it moved quickly because of... They didn't understand why it was so devastating at the time because, you know, molasses is... thick. I mean, it takes 3 minutes to pour about 100 milliliters of molasses from a jug to another jug, right? So it's thick stuff.
Yeah, you'd think it would be a bit slower.
So kind of how can it travel down the street at 35 miles per hour?
Yes, yeah. And people did die. There were some deaths. There were a lot of injuries. It flattened 7 buildings.
Wow.
7 buildings. And it was just treacle, basically. How can it
ravage a city when it is not able to ravage one pancake?
I like what you did there.
Ravage my pancakes.
Well, ravage my pancakes. Now I just want pancakes. What have you done to me?
I've already had pancakes today.
You're quite suggestible when it comes to food, really.
When it comes to food, basically, you just have to wave it vaguely in my direction with a word.
Mention it in passing.
Yeah, if somebody walks past the studio and whispers, pancake. I suddenly have a craving for pancakes. That's how it works.
Bacon cheeseburger. So, this molasses
don't
flood.
Do that. Now we're going to have to get a Five Guys after the show.
Things have happened.
I know. But yeah, no, this was an incredible story. So almost 100 years later, they have reopened the investigation into what happened because they think modern physics may have the answer. And so they're investigating... all of the kind of documents and records from the time or temperature data from the day, lay of the land, all of that kind of stuff, because they want to try and establish how the great molasses flood of the early 1900s happened.
Yes, how it was so great and so floody.
Well, yeah, and how can molasses move so fast when it is so slow?
Yes.
I'm looking at the Wikipedia page about it, and I love that it entered local folklore, and for decades afterwards, residents claimed that on hot summer days, the area still smelled of molasses.
Yeah. Wow. The ghost of treacle's past. Yeah.
Because, if you've been in any way dealing with treacle... There's always that kind of level of stickiness that you can't quite... it takes a lot of hand-washing to get that off you.
Yeah, if you've ever
over an entire town.
Yeah, imagine if you fell into a vat of it. You'd need a shower for about 6 weeks to get all that treacle off.
Yes.
But what I find quite interesting is that actually it basically, if you're waist-deep in it, for example, it becomes a bit like quicksand. Wow. So the more you try and move around in it, the less you can move. Just because of the viscosity of it and everything, it's really interesting. Molasses has some interesting properties apparently that make it interesting for modern physics to investigate. But you know,
it's
safe in small doses, so feel free to keep having it on your pancakes.
Yes, just don't store.
I use molasses as the base for a nice chili sauce that I make.
Ooh. But yeah, just don't store industrial size quantities of it without the proper care and attention.
Well, yes, and if indeed you are storing industrial sized quantities of it, run.
Yes.
For goodness sake, run.
Just make sure that's not in danger of explosion.
What else has been going on then, other than reopening 100-year-old cases into molasses?
I mean, the real question is, who is modern physics?
Ah, yes. Detective Inspector Modern Physics.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Modern Physics, and I'm investigating this solution.
Too soon?
Oh, yes, too soon.
But, yeah, other stuff has been going on, as you say. And this week in Leiden, in the Netherlands, they have this crocodile from the Nile that's been mummified there for quite some time now. And... they've just found 47 baby crocodiles kind of stuffed inside it.
Well, stuff my crocodile.
Well, indeed.
But like they were going to eat it, like a turducken? Or was this some kind of... I mean, how is what I want to know. I have more questions than anything else at this point in time.
Yeah, it's...
Why?
It's quite odd.
Did anybody leave a note explaining it all?
Well, it's been mummified, so it was kind of up to the ancient Egyptians to, you know, explain their reasons for crocodile stuffing.
That happens.
And, according to the people at the Museum of Antiquities in Leiden, the Netherlands, it's not that weird to find animals stuffed inside other animals. Because the ancient Egyptians mummified lots of different animals. They were big on cats, you'll probably know. But they had this god called Sobek, who is depicted as a man with the head of a Nile crocodile. So they reckon this was an offering to that god. And, you know, the more mummies they can get in one crocodile-y package, the more impressed they thought the god would be.
Oh, yeah.
If you like a lot of crocodiles in your package,
join our club.
Praise our god.
Museum.
Yes. It's a... Yeah, I mean, that's a bit of a flawed theory, though, because I like cheeseburgers. And if somebody presented me with a cheeseburger, I'd be impressed with it as an offering. That would be quite nice. But if somebody presented me with a cheeseburger stuffed inside a cheeseburger, stuffed inside a cheeseburger, stuffed inside a cheeseburger, or a cheeseburger with lots of mini cheeseburgers inside, I'm not sure I'd be impressed. I wouldn't even know how to eat it.
I think you'd be impressed.
I'd be quite in awe of the levels of engineering that they had gone to.
I've had cheeseburgers stuffed with cheese before, where you've got, you know,
the
burgers had a little bit hollowed out in the middle and they inject some cheese into it. That's
kind of like
nice.
A cheese steak, but a burger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see if I can get... I want it to make a giant burger bun and stuff lots of smaller burgers inside it. And then I'm going to cover it in cheese and bake it in the oven like a pizza. And serve it up like a pie.
Why do I feel like this is not the first time we've had this conversation?
I just feel like that might be a really good thing to do.
But will you be using Astley's BAPS?
Ah, back to a previous
indeed.
Would you fund it, I see. Well, I have a feeling that covering it all in cheese and everything would mean that the BAPS would be covered and therefore non-visible, entirely eliminating the reason for having Astley's BAPS.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Sad times.
I now want to indeed. Do this. I'm feeling like we've got a foodie show planned for next week. I'm feeling like maybe this needs to be a thing that we do as well. Maybe we have some guests coming next week to cook some food for us, so it's not going to be it's not my turn. But I might try it in the off week between the next two shows and report back on it on Twitter.
God, the engineering project of the giant burger. With many, many burgers.
Well, yeah, as long as I've got a dish big enough to fit in my oven, I reckon I can cram it with burgers, put a giant bun lid on the top.
I think it's going to be that giant bun part that's going to be difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I can just make... I'll just make bread. I just have to make it myself.
Yeah. You've already established that the burger's got to fit in your oven kind of as one thing, so the bun will have to fit in there as well.
Yeah.
So you're just... You've just got to be careful with the burger sizing.
Bake the bun.
A really big sort of cob loaf.
Yeah.
Yeah. Slice that.
Down the middle and then put burgers inside it.
Burgers. Loads of cheese.
It's going to be a lot of bread. Yeah, loads of cheese.
It's going to be a lot of everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it does need to be sliced up like a pie and served that way.
A whole bunch of calories.
But what other food could you stuff inside other food?
Well, I mean, the turducken is established as a thing and many other kind of... Birds stuffed within birds stuffed within.
I've made a pie-flavoured pie before.
Yes.
Again, after seeing it on Asdiff movie, what flavour is the pie? Pie flavour. But I made a pie-flavoured pie where I got six pies, put kind of pastry in a big dish, put the six pies inside the pie case, put some gravy in there, put the lid on it, and it was a pie-flavoured pie, which basically tasted like a lot of pastry.
I can imagine it did.
It was quite nice. I'm not complaining. But I did make a pie-flavoured pie once. So a pie. I've stuffed pie with pie.
Mm-hmm.
Words have lost all meaning.
Yes. I've also made a pie before, though, which was a pie in the shape of pie. Hmm. That was quite cool. Just talking about food now, aren't we?
Yeah. We.
What else should I make? Listeners.
Become slightly sidetracked.
Listeners, please tell me what my next food challenge should be.
Telescopic food.
What should I,
Yeah. It's like the Russian nesting dolls of high calorie food.
Yeah. I need to make sure that I get as many foods inside foods as possible, I think.
The secret word in the chat room asks if you made 22 pies for 7 people, roughly.
I don't get it.
It's a maths joke.
Oh.
22 over 7 is almost pie.
It's almost pie.
Yeah. 3.146.
Oh. Ish. No, I didn't make 22 pies for 7 people. If I'd made 22 pies, I would have eaten them all.
Well.
Thoughts.
It's the Geekly Chronicles. It's time for this week's Tumble Fumble. Are you ready for a scroll in the hay?
Catherine, you've been spelunking through the caverns of the internet. What stalactites have you run into this week?
Many, many stalactites.
Sounds painful.
Yeah. I have a lump on my head to prove it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So, first up, this is a little bit kind of different for the fumble. Usually we go for laughs rather than... insight or meaningfulness.
Yep.
Really anything of meaning whatsoever.
Yeah. Normally it's just random rubbish from the internet.
Yes.
So this week I came across a blog called Messages I Never Sent You. You can find it at messagesineversentyou.wordpress.com.
Not a Tumblr.
No, not a Tumblr.
Interesting.
It's
really not interesting. I don't know.
No,
why,
I know.
But
contrary to popular belief. You know,
so people just submit things to this site that, like, letters they've written but not meaning to send. Totally anonymous.
Yeah. Yes.
Interesting.
Well, I'm not sure if they're all totally anonymous. Sometimes it looks like it's been posted by a particular user, or I'm not sure if that's the user that created the site.
Right.
Who knows?
Yeah, I've not really looked into that bit that closely. I thought, you know, trying to stalk these people down was a little bit creepy. And I'd rather just read what.
But it's like
said.
like a confession sort of thing.
Kind of, yeah. The things you wish you could say to people but you either didn't get the chance or you feel like you can't say it.
Right.
Or, you know, perhaps the person doesn't want to talk to you. So.
That's quite nice.
Yeah, I mean, some of them, you know, obviously they're, you know, very emotional, a lot of them. But, you know, I've sort of tried to pick one that I suppose I related to, it's called Hair Today, and it was posted on the 12th of July 2015, and it goes like this. I don't care that you stood me up. If you were the right man for me, you'd have graced me with your presence. But I'm really irritated that I shaved for you. I don't shave often, but I know how you modern men like it, so I made a bit of an effort, and now I feel like I've lost a bit of myself to you. You can take my dignity, but I wish you'd left my legs alone.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Intimate.
Yes. Interesting.
Did you find one that you liked, Chris?
Well, I found one that didn't have any swearing in it, which is the other problem with this blog. But, yeah.
A few of them do get passionate.
They are quite... And, you know, fair enough. Fair enough. But...
Yeah, we talked about reading some, didn't we, and kind of bleeping it, but we felt we really didn't want to change people's words.
Yeah. But this one, this one's quite a short one, really.
Go on.
3 sentences, no swearing. It says, it's called I Don't Know. And it says, I fell in love with you the minute I saw you. I'm still not sure how you feel about me, which, I guess, tells me everything I need to know.
Yeah.
This one is called Defriended, that I found. It was posted on September the 16th, 2015. And it's a slightly longer one. You want to terminate our friendship because of a Facebook post I only wrote because I love you? I'm tired of you being embarrassed by me. I need someone who's proud to be by my side. I'm letting go now. And in letting go, I think it means I free you from need and I just love you more. But I'll be loving you from further away from now on. I've missed you all year. Take care, my friend. By both our gods, I'm going to miss the hope you used to give me. We're both free now. Be free. with love.
Wow. Bit of a Debbie Downer.
Enough of the catchphrases that should die out.
I will not rest until we have used every single one of them in tonight's show.
I had that feeling.
And if there are any left over, we'll probably be in the next show.
Yes. I might just rattle through them at the end.
Really looking forward to that.
Checking
Thank
them
you.
Off the list.
What else have we got in the Tumble Fumble this week?
Well, this is one that I've known about for a while, and when I mentioned it, you know, sort of Kez said, oh yeah, you know, can't believe we've not kind of talked about this before.
Yeah.
And it's Humans of New York.
Oh yeah.
So you can find it at humansofnewyork.com. And
indeed.
Well, quite simply, it's a blog talking to the humans of New York City. So it's just lots and lots of stories about real human beings, which is really rather lovely.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Sort of all different backgrounds, all different kinds of opinions, life stories, just little windows into other people's worlds.
I've seen the Humans of New York. I've been following it for a while. It is amazing. It's a fantastic, really uplifting, life-affirming thing to look at. Very cool. I think President Obama tweeted about it once as well, which is very cool.
Yeah.
So, Barack Obama had seen Humans of New York and was so enamoured with it that he tweeted about it. But it is very cool just to see these people's stories. I mean, everyone has a story, right? Everyone's different.
Yeah.
Every one of our listeners is different. Every one of our listeners has different hopes and different dreams.
Okay.
Some of them involve giant burgers, some of them don't.
Yes, well, all of my dreams involve giant food.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
I'm really not surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a lovely blog. You can find it all around the place. There's a Twitter account. They're on Facebook, a Tumblr. So wherever your preferred following platform, you can find them.
The secret word in the chat room says, I dreamed of a dog with a propeller for a nose.
Wow.
And people do have odd dreams. If you think about actual dreams. I had a dream the other night that I'd lost my keys and I had to go on a spiritual journey with Kermit the Frog to get them back.
Interesting.
Okay.
Bongella in the chat room says, talking of food, we have curry.
Oh, nice.
So there you go. What are you eating tonight, listeners?
Yes.
Always good to know what you're having for dinner.
Yes.
Make me jealous. I'm sat here without your dinner.
Make us hungry.
Indeed. Any more in the Tumble Fumble?
Yes, there is.
Ooh.
Before we
exciting.
Disappear into a depth of talking about food again.
Yeah, there's one more thing, and it's sort of more traditional fumble fodder, I think.
Excellent.
And excuse me.
Sorry,
excuse
I just
you?
Suddenly realised that I still had the fart sound effect on the touchscreen in front of me from last show.
I love
and
how
I just
we've gone
thought,
some from
traditional tumble fumble. There we go.
I love how we've gone from really like serious and emotional and passionate with the messages I never sent and the humans of New York to fart noises.
I think that is the most human thing. And if you really listen to it, there's passion in there.
Humans are not the only ones that fart.
No. But it's a human thing to do. I've had farty dogs before. My cats used to fart.
Yeah.
My cats, quite often, my cats would fart and look at me. They'd look at me when they'd done it, and I'd look at them, and I'd smell it, and they'd just look at me defiantly. Like,
I know what I did.
I farted.
What are you going to do
so
about
what?
It?
Yeah. And they're sat there like, yeah, I can smell it. I can smell it, but seriously, so can you, and that is terrible. Oh, cats are awful when they fart.
Moving
what else
on.
Is on the Tumble Fumble?
Yes, the point of this segment. right,
cats
so,
farting.
Yes, cat farts, obviously.
It's kind of the point of this whole show, if you were...
if you
look too much into it.
Nothing but a cat fart.
Yeah.
If you play it backwards,
ain't nothing
that's
but
all
a cat
you hear.
Fart. Oh, there's a show title.
Lovely.
So,
I can't
third
wait to see,
thing.
I can't wait to see the artwork for that. Right. I think the third thing will probably appeal to the gamers amongst you. So to me, it's something that, you know, you look at and you kind of know it's good, even though I don't quite get it because I haven't played many of the games. So this is a blog called No Wrong Way to Play. You can find it at nowrongwaytoplay.tumblr.com.
I like it already.
And it's kind of alternative ways to play video games.
But surely there's only one way to play a video game, the way that it was designed to be played, right?
Well, yeah, but when you've played it over and over again, but you still love it and you want to keep playing it, but it's kind of getting a little bit boring, you sort of set those challenges for yourself.
Yeah. And sometimes, by the looks of kind of skimming through this, there are a few glitches in released games that you can take advantage of for comic effect.
Like what?
Well, there's one I found earlier. I have to find the actual post again. I think it was Fallout 3. In Fallout 3, you start off as a baby, right? And you grow up over the course of the game and go out and do what... I don't know what you do in Fallout 3, but you do it as an adult. However, it is possible to take advantage of a glitch in Fallout 3, says this post, that lets you kind of stay a baby forever. So you can kind of run around shooting people in the kneecaps and kind of confusing the in-game camera because it doesn't know where to point, and just generally playing Fallout 3.
As a baby. Oh, I suppose there is no wrong way to play it, so...
Absolutely.
Indeed.
What else has this thing got on it?
So, it's a game I had never heard of before, but this just sounds like the sort of thing I would probably have done. So the person that submitted this one says, when I was a kid, I was in love with the Amiga game Defender of the Crown. I knew the game well enough to beat it every time, so I made it more interesting by giving myself a new challenge. So instead of trying to, you know, take over and become the king yourself as the player, you pick a Saxon lord at the beginning of the game and make that character win. So instead of you becoming the king, you become the kingmaker. And apparently this is quite a challenge within the game to actually maneuver things to get the one specific character you want to become king rather than yourself. And
yeah. That sounds pretty interesting, actually.
Yeah.
It does sound cool.
You know, things like playing games. There was one here playing Spelunky with no X button.
Interesting limitation to set yourself.
I don't think I've heard of that game, but you know.
No, a lot
I'm
of them.
It's something to do with caving.
It looks like it.
Possibly.
I've not played it either. But there's a lot of them have like a little video of some gameplay alongside them, or perhaps like a screenshot of something. So it's sort of quite. You know, if you want to.
I suppose that's kind of like how I used
doing.
To play Tetris, because I was really bad at actual Tetris. And to be honest with you, I still don't understand actually how to play it, what the rules are, how you play it, anything like that. But I used to pick up Tetris and play it and try and get the best pattern before it gave me a game over. So I would always get a game over. It'd be like, what different color combinations can I do? What kind of pattern can I do? Can I make a cool little sculpture out of the pieces and the things? So that was how I played Tetris. So it's basically the same thing.
Sort of setting yourself personal challenges within the game rather than the one that the game maker intended.
I still don't know how to actually play Tetris.
Oh my goodness.
Oh dear. There's a lot on here that get played in Grand Theft Auto by the looks of things. There's one person who's playing Grand Theft Auto 5 online without killing anyone or without committing any crimes. Which totally goes against the, like, because the game is all geared up for you to earn loads of money by killing people and committing crimes. And this person just doesn't do any of that.
Every now and then I used to play, it was Grand Theft Auto 3 at the time. But every now and then I used to play it and I would stick to the speed limit. I would stop at red lights because I'd just be driving around in the game. And every now and then I'd find a car. And the only crime I committed was stealing a car.
Yeah.
I would just drive around and that was that.
Apparently, people, when you play GTA Online, you play with other people. Apparently, some people get so annoyed with this person kind of not playing the game properly that people recognize their username when it comes up. And, that guy again. And they kill him on sight.
Great. Wow.
Just a waste of time.
Wow, that's...
But there's one on here where someone's made an undersea nature documentary.
This is incredible.
A 15-minute nature documentary
about the sea life in Grand Theft Auto.
That's quite impressive, actually.
It's quite, like, there's loads of Grand Theft Auto ones on here. Someone plays the whole game as a dog, which apparently is an option. But yeah, there is, someone decides, as it says on the blog, somebody evidently decided to go full Jacques Cousteau and create a 15-minute documentary about animals that can be found in the Sea of Los Santos. So, because my absolute favourite thing is not even a game that someone is playing. Someone went on Chat Roulette. We all know Chat Roulette is the random video chat matching up website where traditionally unspeakable things happen. But this person constructed a real-life zombie shooter game in their back garden and then went on Chat Roulette and set it up so that the person they get matched with plays the zombie game.
That's pretty cool.
They, like, mounted a camera on the point of view of the person with the zombie gun thing and did a real-life first-person shooter with random people on the internet.
Oh, that's incredible. That's very creative.
Yeah. So it's... I love this vlog. The things people have done to play games and that. Of course, invented their own whole new games.
Well, thank you for taking us through that and some of your favourites, Chris. And thank you, Catherine, for the Tumble Fumble this week.
Yeah,
you can see all the links and highlights of what Catherine has discovered this week on the internet on our Twitter account, which is at GKLYCO.
Indeed, you can.
It's the Geekly Chronicles.
One of the most exciting things in this year. And in a year where there's not always been loads of good news, we've had the awesomeness that was Rio 2016.
Yeah.
The Olympics and Paralympics.
Really inspirational stuff.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of really great stuff that happens at the Olympics and the Paralympics. I was riveted by the whole thing. I actually found myself watching more of the Paralympics than the actual Olympics. And I was just awe-inspired, just completely... Like, there are lots of different events, a lot of repeats of events because they have different categories which are and different classifications, which I found really interesting. But we have the absolute pleasure tonight to welcome an Olympic gold or a Paralympic gold medalist and all-round amazing Paralympics GB member of the team to the show. So, as long as our technology is all working... Hello, Ellie, how are you doing?
Good, thank you. Yeah.
Well, thank you for taking the time out to talk to us. I'm sure your schedule is very busy. Now, Wikipedia tells us that you started swimming at the age of 4. What first got you excited about swimming?
Well, I started learning to swim when I was 4, just so I had that fundamental skill. So just if I fell into the water, I'd be able to kind of save my life, something like that. Just a skill that you need to learn when you're 4. And I didn't actually start training at Northampton Swimming Club till I was 11. So it was just something that a life skill that I had to learn, really.
So before you really got into swimming training, did you try any other sports out? Was there anything else that took your fancy?
Well, yeah, in junior school, I was really keen into all sports. Like, in PE lessons, I'd give everything a go. I'd try everything from hockey, netball. Even if I wasn't good at it, I'd still just give it a go and try.
I admire that. I'm not very good at any sport, but I still like trying them.
Yeah, it's kind of like I'm a fish out of water when I do non-sports.
I think I was one of those kids that always tried to avoid them, so now I regret that as I get older. I understand that London 2012 was a bit of a life-changing moment. What happened there?
Well, I'd previously been on a talent ID day, which was run by the ASA in Northamptonshire Sport, and that was when they told me, like, oh, you should probably start swimming, and I was like, I had no idea, because I never really thought about competitive swimming, and they were like, you think you need to join a swimming club, and I was like, okay. So I joined Northampton, and then, obviously, it was London 2012 at the time, so I managed to get tickets to the aquatics, and that was when I saw Ellie Simmons, and I was like, yeah, I really want to do what she's just done, and it was that kind of inspiring moment. Watching her.
Oh, that's a lovely story. Yeah, the legacy can have such a quick impact.
Yeah.
You also faced another challenge in 2012 that might have forced some people out of an intense sport like swimming. What gives you the strength and the energy to keep getting better and better?
Well, in 2012, like shortly after I started swimming, I was diagnosed with Perthes, which is a condition that affects the hips. And the consultant said when I was first diagnosed, it was actually the swimming that kind of helped me have a speedy recovery and to not be as severe as it could have been. Because most children, when they have the condition, they're sort of in a wheelchair for 5 years. I was actually quite lucky to just come away with crutches for 6 months. So, yeah. And because it was at the start of my swimming, it didn't really give me that many setbacks because I hadn't really been swimming for that long. But it was kind of my swimming that helped me regain all that confidence that I'd lost and helped me keep going.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm sure a lot of people that do swimming are kind of credit it with being such a great way to be able to pull them through things as well. So it's awesome to hear that. Huge congrats on your medal win in Rio this year. It was amazing. But I have to ask, of all the things we saw on the TV from Rio, what was the food like?
Oh, the food was amazing because in the food hall, there was all the food you could possibly imagine. Like, I think they said there was enough food to fill around 3 football pitches. So that was amazing. And the size of the food hall was extraordinary. There was a section dedicated to each continent. So everyone had that home comfort food, like no matter where you're from. So it was good.
3 football pitches worth of food.
Well, I'm slightly confused though, because how are the Olympic footballers and Paralympic footballers supposed to play their games if the football pitch was filled with food? I'm just confused about that, but at the same time, I'll quite happily eat it to clear it all away.
Oh dear. Joking aside, it's hard for us to get a feel for the atmosphere watching it all on TV, but the entire Paralympics GB team seemed so close and tight-knit. Was it like kind of having a second family out there?
Definitely, yeah, because the team atmosphere was so good, especially when the competition started, and all of us are really tight-knit, and also with like the other nations as well, because it's so nice to meet so many people from all corners of the world, and we'll all meet each other up at these games, and then you won't see them again for another year, and it's quite good, because it brings like not just the whole team together, but it kind of, it sounds really cheesy, but kind of the whole world, really.
You must meet so many cool new friends, and it's a great opportunity.
Do you find that during the year when you're not at competitions with these people, is it like the kind of, you'll exchange like texts and messages and things? Is there kind of that level of understanding that you don't necessarily have with people that you just go to school with?
Oh, it's great because I've got social media and you can kind of keep up and see what all these athletes are doing after the games and leading up to the games. And it's just great because you've still got that connection with them to see how they're still doing.
We can't not mention the phenomenon that became known as the gangster swagger as you came out for your medal-winning race. How does this match with your image in the real world? Are you happy to be associated with it, or are you hoping it doesn't make it into meme history?
Well, the walkout sort of reflects my character when I'm racing, because I like to think of myself as an average 15-year-old, but when I step into the courtroom, I guess I am kind of that gangster, I don't know, I suppose. But I'm a competitor, and I'm sure that my squad mates will probably tell you the same. And I'll listen to Eminem in the call room to get myself psyched up. But still, racing Ellie and training Ellie are still very different. And I'm not going to lie, my suit was still very tight, and it was all those layers too. So that did have the effect.
It's quite cool, though. I mean, a lot of athletes have their personas and their little trademark things that they do. So it's cool that you've got your gangster swagger.
Yeah. I'm not really sure where that came from, but I was just in that zone.
But it's funny because a lot of the Team GB and Paralympic GB athletes have got those things. I know that for people that have followed other athletes on Twitter, there's another Paralympic swimmer, Tom Hamer, who makes a huge deal out of his hair constantly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, it is funny because it's just those little things, those little jokes you have on the team. And it's those things you'll never forget. And you'll see them in a few years' time and you'll bring it up. And it's just great to have those little things.
Now, your training schedule must be intense. And you're studying on top of that too. What is your average day like?
Well, My average Monday would probably be up at 4 o'clock and then in the pool from 5 till 7 and then school at 8:30 and then finishes around 3:30. So straight from school to training and then I get home around 7:30-ish. So that's kind of cramming in as much homework as I can and in bed by 10 by the latest.
Yeah, that is probably more intense than most people's days are, I would say.
It seems like a lot, but I don't know. It's what a lot of swimmers have to do, and it's all right, because morning training's only Mondays and Thursdays.
Well, it's small mercies then, I guess.
Yeah.
So outside of swimming, you're doing your GCSEs. What other things in life are you really passionate about?
Well, obviously my swimming and my GCSEs take up a lot of time. But if I have some spare time, I'll probably meet up with friends and just be a typical teenager, I guess. Although I've been really looking forward to seeing the weekend this year because I'm seeing him in March, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh, brilliant.
That sounds fun.
Awesome. And obviously the swimming probably seems a lot more exciting than the GCSEs at the moment, but is there a particular subject that that stands out as one that you actually like more than others?
I get asked this quite a lot, but I'm not really sure. I guess I'm quite fond of PE and geography. But it's, I don't know. I'm going to be choosing subjects for ages yet, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, I suppose PE and geography kind of makes sense, both with wanting to swim and also knowing where to swim to, so.
I guess, I don't know.
During this series of our show, we've had the pleasure of having a number of guests that have helped to celebrate difference and diversity. We've got listeners young and old all over the world. Do you have any words of wisdom to help us all be as good as we can possibly be?
Well, I guess my advice would just be just to do what you're passionate about and don't really feel that you have to conform to what you think is socially acceptable. Don't get caught up on appearance or perfection and don't try to mimic someone else. I mean, I saw this quote the other day and it was, life's like a test. There's no point copying someone else because we all have different test papers. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was really true because everyone's different, everyone's an individual, and there's no true definition of perfect, and just do what you want to do, and that's what I try to live by.
What's next for you then? We've obviously had Rio. What's coming up next on the radar?
I guess there's Worlds in Mexico, but I mean, it took a lot of hard work and dedication to get to Rio, so hopefully if I put the same amount of hard work in, I'll be able to get to Mexico, so that should be good. I get asked about Tokyo quite a lot, and obviously it was always my main aim, and Tokyo was kind of the bonus that came early, so I guess Tokyo would be good. It'd be nice to go, but 4 years, it's a long way away, and so many things can change, so if everything goes to plan, the plan goes well, then hopefully that anything can happen.
I'm a fan of the food in Tokyo as well, so I think that three football fishes of sushi would do me quite nicely.
If there was an Olympic sport in consuming world foods, you would have it absolutely covered, guys, honestly.
That would be the most popular sport.
Yes.
It would certainly be popular in this room.
Yes.
Definitely.
I think I might go and get some practice in later. Well, Ellie, thank you so much for joining us on the show. It's been absolutely inspiring to talk to you. And good luck with the training and whatever comes next.
Oh, thank you.
It's the Geekly Chronicles. It's like the Archbishop of Banterbury and a Bantosaurus Rex and a Bants baby. And it's like top, innit?
Well, huge thanks to Ellie for joining us in the last segment there. That was an awesome, awesome interview.
Very inspiring. Those levels
indeed.
Of dedication.
Yes. Oh, so good. I mean, how can we follow that, really?
I don't think we can.
Following that would have to be something fantastic.
Mm. Fantastic, you say?
Fantastic, I say.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Where would we find something fantastic?
Maybe at the cinema?
Maybe. I haven't actually seen this film yet.
No.
I really want to, so I'm planning on doing it this weekend. But I've heard amazing things.
Although I've also heard that there's kind of none of the more impressive creatures that we saw in kind of the Harry Potter films in Fantastic Beasts. Like,
you're trying to say the Fantastic Beasts aren't fantastic enough?
I don't know. Maybe. One or two reviews might have suggested this, but I want to make up that my mind. I want to make up, you know, that my own mind about that.
I did read, though, that there's no hippogriff in it.
No hippogriff?
No hippogriff.
Ah. There's no hippogriff?
No.
So you're trying to tell me that Fantastic Beasts has no hippogriff in it?
Well, that's what I've read.
But I love the hippogriff. The hippogriff is my favourite animal from the Harry Potter universe. Mm. I'm utterly obsessed with the hippogriff. It is my... I mean, you remember in the film where they introduced the hippogriff and the hippogriff was there by Hagrid's hut and Hagrid had the hippogriff and then Harry was in front of the hippogriff and Harry bowed to the hippogriff and the hippogriff bowed back to Harry.
There's a lot of H's going on
then,
right now.
Harry got on the back of the hippogriff and rode the hippogriff and the hippogriff was flying. And that was brilliant. And then it got back and then Malfoy was all jealous and he was like, I'm going to walk up to the hippogriff. And the hippogriff then hit Malfoy. And Malfoy really wanted the hippogriff to get executed, but then they managed to save the hippogriff and Sirius Black rode off on the hippogriff. The hippogriff is one of the best animals in the Harry Potter universe. The hippogriff is universal. The hippogriff is love. The hippogriff is life. I love the hippogriff.
That was a whistle-stop tour. Yeah.
We've
just covered all of Harry Potter in about 36 seconds.
It's yeah, I mean, my apologies if you haven't read Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. But Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban should very well have been named Harry Potter and the Hippogriff of Hippogriff.
Yes.
Because hippogriffs are amazing. Buckbeak was the hippogriff's name in that book.
Has it taken you that long to remember?
Yeah, saying hippogriff, hippogriff, hippogriff. I wonder if like buffalo. I wonder if you can make a sentence by just saying hippogriff five times. Hippogriff, 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 hippogriff.
One for the lexicographers out there to for us.
But I am very much looking forward to having...
Yeah, I've not been this excited about a film for quite a long time.
I am quite excited about seeing it. I mean, apparently, it's a bit like the excitement and fervour of a Matt Smith Doctor Who episode, but set in the magic world.
Interesting.
Nice.
So, yeah, I quite like that. I mean, I loved Matt Smith's Doctor. I don't think the Doctor ever met a hippogriff, though. David Tennant's Doctor had a horse in the TARDIS.
Yeah.
Yes, this
but
is true.
But I don't think the Doctor ever met a hippogriff. Were there any other fictional animals as impressive as a hippogriff?
Was the horse ever in the TARDIS?
No, maybe the horse wasn't in the TARDIS. The horse was on the Marie Antoinette.
And the 11th Doctor met a horse.
That's right.
In a town called Mercy.
Yes, of course. Yeah, there were horses.
And the 12th Doctor rides a horse in his first episode.
Oh, yeah. So there are horses. There are horses all over Doctor Who, but no hippogriffs. What I want to know is why there are horses and no hippogriffs. I think hippogriffs deserve some action and attention. I'm utterly amazed that the hippogriff is not a more seriously written animal. And, the hippogriff justice, I think.
Hmm. We have something else here that deserves attention.
It's not a hippogriff.
Excitement.
Darn.
No, but it does move us on to the next segment.
Yeah, moves us away from hippogriffs. I think we were getting a bit too hippogriffs.
We have multiple things to unbox this week.
Yes, now this is very exciting. I have signed up to a cool new service called Board Game Crate. Now, I love board games. I think board games are awesome. I like card games as well. One of my favourite card games is by Big Punk Studio, and it's called Sandwich Masters, which is very, very cool. I also love games like Coup, King of Tokyo. I just love board games. They're very, very cool, the tabletop games. And Board Game Crate basically looks at what games you've got and what games you like, and it's a group of people that test out awesome board games and then once a month send you a random board game. And I've got in front of me here my first...
A large box.
My first crate, my first board game crate here. That's got my name on it and everything. So I am going to...
that does explain how it arrived in the right place.
So we're going to open it. Here we go. And see what we've got. This cool little board game crate sticker on the front there. Oh, I just destroyed the studio with my box.
Remember, there is a microphone in front of you.
See what we got. The box is open.
I thought you were about to say the box is empty, and I was...
Welcome to your crate. Please enjoy the complimentary Haribo. Hey.
Ooh.
Oh, there it is. Ooh. Okay, well, the first thing I've got is some complimentary Haribo. That's awesome. Welcome to your crate. There's a crate offer. Give a friend 10% by entering the code below at the checkout.
Well, how exciting.
Oh, record your unboxing video, upload it to YouTube, and you could get your next crate free. Well, we're unboxing it live on the radio, so, you know.
Yeah, I mean...
wonder if that will help.
And you've put... So the card telling you to unbox it is in the box. Record your unboxing is in the box. It should really say that on the outside of the box.
I see the slight flaw in that plan, yeah. Share your thoughts on this month's crate using the hashtag BoardGameCrate. Well, let's see. I'm still looking through the things here.
What things have you got?
Oh, there are bits and pieces. Hang on. Ah! I accidentally hit something.
You did. That. You hit something very...
You hit the
very
patriotism
British.
Patriotism-a-gram.
Here we go. I've got... This big game here is... Stefan Bogan's Camel Cup.
Interesting.
I thought it was Camel Up.
No, oh, it is.
Camel Up.
Camel Up, Camel Cup. Maybe it's Camel Up. I read it as Camel Cup.
Is that like a movie?
Oh,
cup?
Who knows?
Witness the craziest camel race of all time as all things really go topsy-turvy when camels stack up and entire pyramids turn upside down. Camel Up is a simple, quick, outrageously exciting family game that can be enjoyed by up to 8 players. So these are, you know, family-centric board games, and, you know, you have the ability to get these games. I've also got another game in here, a little card game, Scott Olms' Harbour. Very cool.
Ooh, this looks funky.
Yeah,
it does.
So...
It really does.
The fact that we're able to...
Yeah, all the little camels.
Yeah, and I've got a little card pouch that's come with the whole thing. I mean, this is awesome, so... board games by subscription is a very cool idea. So yes, that was my first crate.
Gosh,
I'm mostly excited about this free Haribo. I've got a free Haribo in front of me. This is incredible.
Let's crack that open.
Yes, we
How
should absolutely.
Exciting.
Yeah, what have we got coming up for the rest of the show?
Well, we still have to unveil. Speaking of. You're enjoying that, Haribo.
I can't quite... Oh, there we go.
No, yeah, I can tell by the scrabbling. Yeah, we've still got to unwrap our mystery item from the Fiver Fun blog, and, of course, I will be pitting you and Catherine against one another for Game of Geeks.
Haribo is really good.
We will also have our
glad.
Would You Fund It result.
We will.
So don't forget to get your votes in, either via our Twitter page, although that poll has probably disappeared down the page quite a way, so if you can't find it, just go to gkly.co/fundit.
It's the Geekly Chronicles. How geekly can these chronicles be? They're very geekly. The Geekly Chronicles.
We guarantee they are the geekliest chronicles you will hear on your radio this evening.
Now, we mentioned earlier about the Terence Eden's Fiver Fun blog and the fact that each week we buy something. A mysterious unknown something from featured on Fiver Fun and give it away in the winning words competition.
We do.
So I have
no idea what it's going to be.
I have the biggest package we've had yet, I think.
Yes, it may well be terrible because we've got no idea what's in there, but let's open it and see what's in there.
I've been trying to work out what it is, but I just can't. It feels kind of booky, maybe. I'm sort of giving it a little bit of a bend. Hopefully I'm not destroying it. But yeah, okay.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
Let's get it open.
Come on, yep, let's open up this mystery box and see what we got.
Thin sheet of glass.
Ooh. Right. Oh, yeah. Bookie was right. It is... weirdly appropriate. It is.
Oh, wow. A Harry Potter That's colouring amazing. Book. That is incredible.
Yeah. I wonder what's in here. I wonder if I can find
a hippogriff.
These are completely random. We had no idea that this was going to be so relevant.
That's awesome.
That is the beauty of random.
Yeah.
Yep. Are you Sometimes looking through now to see if you can find a
I'm trying to find one.
Find a buckbeak.
Hagrid.
There are a lot of
find many cauldrons.
Yeah.
Cauldrons,
Hagrid. To in.
I am outraged. Outraged that there is no hippogriff in this colouring book.
Oh, yeah, there is. Yeah,
oh!
There it is. There you go.
You can colour in the hippogriff.
Your own hippogriff.
Fantastic.
That is amazing. I mean, okay, there's even a hippogriff on the front.
Oh, yeah, so there is.
Oh, yeah, we missed that one.
For all your hippogriff needs.
Fantastic.
I just love that the universe has sent us a Harry Potter colouring book.
Well, I mean,
the week that
Amazon Prime has sent us a Harry Potter colouring book.
Yeah, true. Entirely yes. Randomly and unknowingly, given it's the week we talk
about fantastic, yes. The most fantastic of beasts. Yes. Oh wow. How excellent. So, you can be in with a chance of winning this and a Geekly merch bundle.
Yeah.
How amazing is that?
And as a reminder...
If you hear the winning word, give us a call in the UK on 020-3389-6245 or in the US on 415-287-9705. You might just win something.
And speaking of audience interaction, we'd also love you to keep getting your votes in for Would You Fund It over at gkly.co/fundit or on our Twitter poll, and we'll be checking in with the results later in the show. But coming up next, I will be challenging Kez and Catherine to a battle of wits and knowledge and generally a battle in Game of Geeks.
Yeah, you say wits like we have any.
Yeah, but, I mean, yeah. I realised when I said it.
Game of Wit? No, it's called Game of Geeks for a reason.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles. Now for this week's Game of Geeks.
Ooh.
Game of Geeks.
Well, it's time once again for that game show that we do where Chris pits Catherine and I against each other in a battle of, well, geeky knowledge, I suppose.
Indeed, I do. So, for those of you that maybe haven't listened before, I'm going to ask Kez and Catherine a series of questions about books and films and TV shows and music and plays and all of that sort of thing. And I'm going to give you three clues. If you get it on the first clue, you get 3 points. Second clue, you get 2 points. And if you get it on the third clue, you get just 1 point. But if you do get it on the third clue, you can gamble your 1 point with a bonus question.
Ooh.
To double or nothing.
Ooh.
Your score. But every good quiz needs buzzers, so this week, Kez goes...
Kind of, well, in honour of Ellie and Team GB winning, you know?
It's quite patriotic.
A bit of God Save the Queen.
Yeah, and this week, Catherine goes...
God Save the Queen.
This is true. So, let's get to the quiz. And we will start with question number one. It's a book. And it's also a film. Mm. So, you know, see if you can get it. Clue number one. This book was number 5 in Nielsen BookScan's top 20 adult fiction list for 2015. Cares.
50 Shades of Grey.
It was not 50 Shades of Grey.
Okay.
I'm quite pleased to say. Although that was also the year that Grey was released, which was the sequel to 50 Shades of Grey. Clue number two. Written by... Sorry, the writing on these cards is very small. Written by Andy Weir, this novel was self-published in 2011, re-released in 2014, and adapted into a film directed by Ridley Scott in October 2015. I feel like it's just out of reach.
Yeah.
I feel like you've got it, but you haven't got it. She's buzzed. You've got quite a long buzzer, haven't you?
Yeah.
I'm going to guess The Martian?
Coming in after two clues, you score 2 points.
Woohoo!
Yeah, as soon as you said The Martian, I was like, oh yeah, that is Andy Weir, isn't it?
Indeed it is. So, 2 points to Catherine. Incidentally, The Martian, the main character, The Martian, is played by Matt Damon.
Yeah.
As we know. And... in a lot of Matt Damon films, he has to be saved or rescued, usually by the US government. And someone has added up all of the Matt Damon films, like Interstellar and Saving Private Ryan and The Martian, of course. And they've worked out that it costs the US government $900 billion to rescue Matt Damon in total. including $200 billion spent getting him back in The Martian.
Nice.
Or in pursuit of getting him back. I've not actually seen it. I don't know if they get him back or not. But 2 points to Catherine, and we move on to the next question. This one is also a film. So fingers on buzzers. This 2014 American psychological thriller, was directed by David Fincher and written by Gillian Flynn based on her 2012 novel of the same name. Kez.
Was it American Psycho?
It was not American Psycho, I'm afraid. Any idea, Catherine?
No, not at this stage, no.
All right, we'll move on to clue number two. This film stars Ben Affleck and Rosamund Pike, the latter of whom was nominated for an Academy Award, BAFTA Award, and Golden Globe, and Screen Actors Guild Award for Best Actress following her performance. She was very well decorated.
Nope.
Any clue?
Nothing.
So, the third clue. The film begins on Nick and Amy, played by Affleck and Pike's fifth wedding anniversary, when Nick returns home to find Amy missing. Catherine's formed a fist.
It was a glimmer of hope.
Fist of glimmer of hope.
Yeah, but I got nothing.
Nothing? Kez, any idea?
No, none.
Well.
Oh.
When I tell you, you're gonna go, it was Gone Girl, was the answer to that.
I heard of it.
I didn't see it. I heard that it was very good.
It was very good. So good, in fact, that Wikipedia had to create a whole new page called List of Awards and Nominations Received by Gone Girl. Because there were too many to fit on the Gone Girl page.
It was massive. That's pretty cool. Yeah. But I didn't get around seeing it.
It was a huge film.
No points for either of us there, though.
Yeah, no points scored there. Let's move straight on to another question. This one is a TV show. Okay. Fingers on buzzers. See if you can get this one.
My hand is here.
Clue number one. This BBC science fiction sitcom featured a spaceship based on the BT Tower. Kez.
I actually have no idea. Based on the BT Tower.
Yep.
Because that's the bit that threw me. I mean, I was going to say Red Dwarf.
I was kind of hoping you would. That's why I paused halfway through that sentence.
Yeah.
But Red Dwarf is not the answer, I'm afraid.
Based on the BT Tower.
Catherine, any ideas for this one?
I've got an idea. I just can't think of what it was called. So
yeah, it probably is that one.
All right, next
Would you
week.
Like clue number two?
Yeah, go on then.
Okay, this one's going to be a tricky pronunciation one. Like I said, the writing's very small, so wish me luck.
All right.
This series also featured alien races such as the Glish, the Kwepu, the Lalakis, the Bulag, I think, the Engulfers, the Skrain, and the red shiny robots of Vortis. That is every alien race listed on the Wikipedia page for this TV show. Any idea?
What I'm thinking of, I can picture some of the characters and things, but I can't think what it was called. I hope it is.
It's not Blake 7, is it?
It's not Blake 7, I'm afraid.
Wasn't that supposed to be serious, not a comedy?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I've never seen it, but it is not
I was
the
just
answer
thinking,
to this question.
I think actually that spaceship looked more like the Eiffel Tower. I'm just trying to think of things that look like the BT Tower. Probably a Wikipedia page for that as well. Anyway.
What, things that look like...
I guess, do we need the last clue?
I can give you the last clue if you want it. Think it's going to help. Set in 2151 and 2152, this series follows a space crew who protect British interests throughout the ever-changing galaxy. It's a very British
I'm
going to
be
thing.
Really annoyed when you tell me what it is, but I'm never going to think
sure
of it.
I'm sure you are.
No, this has been a really hard game of geeks this week so far.
I know. I'm quite happy with that because last week's was a bit on the easy side. Any idea at all? Nothing?
No.
The answer...
No, I'm not going to think of it. Tell me.
It's Hyperdrive.
Never heard
Nick
of it.
Nick Frost, Miranda Hart.
It was what I was thinking of then.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that one. Told you it'd be that
no,
one.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I've not heard of it.
No, I was never going to think of Hyperdrive, though, as the name of it.
All right.
But that's who I was imagining.
Next yeah. question.
I almost want to give you a sympathy point, but but I won't. Because that makes the game ridiculous. The next question, this one, going to do this one. This one is a musical.
Okay.
So, fingers on buzzers for this one. This musical debuted off-Broadway in February 2015, sold out and transferred to Broadway's Richard Rodgers Theatre in August that year.
Say that again. Sorry, I wasn't listening.
Does help if you pay attention to the questions. This musical debuted off-Broadway in February 2015, sold out and transferred to Broadway's Richard Rodgers Theatre in August that year. I always forget how long this buzzer is.
Total guess, Aladdin.
Not the answer, I'm afraid.
Next
Shall
clue?
We move on to the next
clue? Yeah,
clue? All right. In 2016, this musical was nominated for an unprecedented 16 Tony Awards, of which it won 11, including Best Musical, and it also won a Grammy and a Pulitzer Prize. Catherine. When this is...
Another guess, Hamilton?
Is the right answer.
There we go.
That's what I was going to say for the first one, but I thought it was too early. I didn't know it had been around in 2015.
No, I hadn't either, but I suppose that is topical with the week's news. So,
indeed. It's coming to the UK, but it did debut quite early 2015 off-Broadway and then made its big move to Broadway in that summer. Tells
the
story.
I think I've only started hearing about it this year, so,
All right, come on, then, another question.
Final question now.
Respondent cares.
It's too hard this week. It's not entertaining when it's too hard.
This one's probably a bit easy. I don't know. I think this one's easy, but then again, I wrote the questions. So
yeah.
We'll see. This is a TV show, again, and this show, fingers on your buzzers, this show, which premiered on the 7th of March 2013, won a BAFTA in 2014 and two National Television Awards in 2015 and 2016.
That could be anything. That's not a clue about the show. The awards questions are rubbish. Shut up, you.
What? A punt.
Good point out there. Having a punt with Broadchurch.
Not the answer, I'm afraid.
Okay.
Clue number two. The executive producer on this program is Tanya Alexander, who described the original idea as a mix of Harry Hill and the Royal Family.
Gogglebox.
Is correct.
Boom.
Coming in after two clues.
The second clue king.
You very much are the second clue king this week. But yes, the answer is Gogglebox, which is currently narrated by Craig Cash, but was, of course, narrated by Carolina Hearn from the Royal Family.
Oh, well, I guess that means only one thing, doesn't it?
Does indeed.
This week's winner is... Catherine.
Yeah, wipe the floor with you again.
You did, with 6 points to none. Woo-hoo. Well done, Catherine, on
Got
your
me.
Victory.
I'm
Another
doing my victory.
Victory
dance.
You are. You are literally doing a victory dance.
Mm-hmm. It's a very small dance. Fantastic. I can do in my chair.
Yes, I mean most of your on air dances are quite small, but yeah, well done.
It's the Geekly Chronicles.
Well, it's time to find out. I think. Who has won this week's, or well, whether our Would You Fund It this week is funded.
Yes.
Yeah. Would they fund it?
Would you fund it indeed? So.
Let's find out.
As a reminder, what was this week's Would You Fund It?
Well, this week I pitched the idea of a literal awkward turtle, a little robot turtle that will sit on the dinner table at Christmas or Thanksgiving or any big family meal, really, and just sort of nudge the conversation away from the more difficult issues.
Okay. And has it been funded?
It has.
Hey, congratulations.
80% of tonight's audience voted in favour of funding the awkward turtle.
Yay.
And now, in other exciting news, we appear to have a caller on the line.
Do we really?
We have a caller on the line. And we will, by the magic of technology, I'm going to see if we can transfer this caller to the air and see if they're there. I mean, and I'm going to assume this is for the winning word competition.
I hope so.
We can hope so.
So whoever we are bringing up the faders now. You are live on the Geekly Chronicles. Please do not swear. Hello.
Hello.
Ah, there's a person on the phone.
Oh, good.
There is.
Who's calling?
Hi, I'm Matty.
Hi, Matty. Do you think you were able to suss out our winning word for the week?
Yes, I think it was hippogriff.
It was.
You might be right.
When did you hear us say it?
Yeah, when you were discussing how there isn't one in Fantastic Beasts and where to find them.
Indeed.
That is correct. So congratulations, you are this week's winning words winner.
Bonus points if you can remember how many times we said it, because it was probably upwards of 50.
I think I lost count.
Yeah.
I mean,
how do you feel about the lack of hippogriffs in Fantastic Beasts? Are you a hippogriff fan? Do you like the hippogriff?
Not really. I hate to say it, but
oh dearie me.
Well, Matty, congratulations. Yes. You are our winning word winner for the week. Thank you very much for calling in. We'll make sure we get your details so we can send you your prizes.
Indeed, we will.
Thank you.
Cool.
Lovely stuff. Okay. The Geekly merch bundle and the colouring book will be on its way to you very shortly.
As will a hippogriff.
I'm not sure we can promise that.
We're going to send you a hippogriff. All the hippogriffs. The hippogriffs are here. The hippogriffs are here to stay. I love the hippogriffs. I love hippogriffs. Hippogriffs are brilliant.
Just don't forget to bow.
Indeed. Just don't forget to bow. Bow at the hippogriff. The hippogriff needs bowing.
Pretty much everything we've got time for this
hippogriff.
Week.
Hippogriff, hippogriff. Yes. Hippogriff. I'm going to keep saying it.
We'll just do the ending. You can keep saying it.
It is. Thank you very much to our wonderful guest, Ellie.
Yes, thank you. That was amazing. Congratulations to Catherine for winning this week's Game of Geeks.
Thank you.
Again. And congratulations to Matty for calling in and winning our Winning Words prize.
Yes. Thanks also to everyone who sent in requests, tweeted us, and took part in the chat room. We will be back for episode number 6 in 2 weeks' time.
Yes, it's a very foodie episode, so do tune in.
We'll be back on the 9th of December with all of your favourites, another £5 thing, and, as Kez says, an exciting food-based feature.
But for now, from me, Kez.
From me, Chris.
And from me, Catherine.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You've been listening to the Geekly Chronicles. Content was researched and vaguely fudged together by Chris, Catherine and Kez, who are also your hosts for this evening's show. The Geekly Chronicles is a Tiny Kettle production. Any reference to any persons or things, living or dead, was probably an error. What is reality anyway? Don't take the blue pill, live long and prosper, wear sunscreen.